In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. As the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void. The word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear, then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. The ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while and in time of temptation fall away. The ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The word of God is Sexagesimus Sunday, nearly 60 days to Easter, speaks of the power and efficacy of the word of God. Sola scriptura, the scriptures alone, speak the truth and are the foundation of our faith as they proclaim Christ to us. Holy Scripture speaks of the word of God in many ways. That's why I read all excerpts from all three readings at the outset of the sermon. And this is so because everything depends upon God's word. By the word of God, all things were created. Let there be light, and there was light. God's word is performative speech. It gives the very things of which it speaks. Life is dependent upon God's word. Our relationship with God is dependent upon God's word. The Holy Spirit is given by God's word. No wonder Satan hates God's word. He hates God. In the garden, he accused God of being a liar. In order to separate Adam and Eve from the word of God, which was the fountain and source of life, they ate of the tree and they died as they turned away from the word that gave them life. The Holy Bible is the inscripturated word of God, the written word of God. The scriptures, according to apostolic catechesis, are literally God-breathed, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and therefore inerrant and infallible. St. Peter says, apostles and prophets were carried along by the Holy Spirit, so that what they wrote is the very testimony of the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, who bears witness to Christ. The written word of God testifies to the Son of God, and all that Jesus did for us and for the whole world in his death and resurrection in order to redeem us from sin and to restore our life with God. The Bible reveals that the Son of God is also wonderfully called the Word, the Logos in Greek. The Apostle John says at the prologue to his gospel, we hear it every Christmas, in the beginning was the Word, a reference to the eternal Son. And the Word was with God, a reference to the Son being with God the Father. And the Word was God. All things were made through him. Apart from him, nothing was made that was made. In him, in Christ, the Logos was life. And that life was the light of men. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So here, the Word is a person. The Word of God, Holy Scriptures, testifies to the eternal Word of the Father, the second person of the Holy Trinity, the Son of God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. So whether we are talking about God's spoken word, God's written word, the Holy Scriptures of the apostles and prophets, God's word proclaims and preaches the eternal word of the Father by whom all things were created and by whom the creation is redeemed from sin. It is this word, the eternal word of the Father, the divine Son who is proclaimed to us in the gospel. In today's Old Testament, God's word is compared to water and to snow that gives life and nourishes life. If there is no water, there is no life. God's word expresses God's will, creates faith, and exposes unbelief. In the case of the Old Testament, Pharaoh's unbelief was manifest when God's word hardened his heart, and we see the nature of unbelief. God's word also gives forgiveness and salvation in Jesus through the proclamation of the gospel and delivers us from eternal death, but gives condemnation to those who reject Christ. Isaiah speaks of the power and efficacy of God's word. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. And in today's epistle, God's word gives rest from the problem of sin. It's a lovely passage in Hebrews chapter 4. It gives us a little bit of a window of insight into Martin Luther's explanation to the third commandment. Remember the Sabbath day, the day of rest, how it links together rest from the labor and the toil of this life with the word of God that delivers Christ's rest to us. In the epistle, the word of God is described as a sharp, two-edged sword that has the surgical precision to diagnose our deepest needs and to lay open our souls and our spirits before God. Quote, "It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, and there is no creature hidden from God's sight." The word of God lays us naked before God. Apart from his word, the law, and the gospel, we cannot know God. Nor can we come to faith in Jesus or learn to love him with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength. The word of God. It's pretty important, don't you think? Everything depends upon God's word. Our life with God, our salvation. Nothing matters more than God's word. And there are so many enemies of God's word and the faith that God's word creates. And this leads us to Jesus' parable of the sower and the seed. Jesus is the sower, the preacher. The seed is the word of God. The seed is the message of the gospel, the proclamation of Jesus' forgiveness, the good news of what Christ has done for us. And the seed that Jesus sows gives us Jesus and eternal life and salvation in him. Faith in Christ is a miracle of God's word. This is the first lesson in the parable. You and I cannot create faith, just as we cannot create life. Both are God's work. The creation of faith and the miracle of life is a miracle of God's grace. This is what's so delightful about the parable of the sower and the seed. The disciples asked Jesus, "Why do you speak in parables?" And strangely, Jesus says to hide the mysteries from those who do not believe, but to open up the mysteries through contemplation and meditation upon God's word, to open up the mysteries of God's grace. In the parable of the sower and the seed, God's love is seen in that the sower does the unthinkable. I mean, if he worked for me, this sower, I would fire him. Because he scatters seed on the pathway, among rocks, and in the weeds, as well as in the good soil that has been tilled. From the human reason perspective, 3/4 of the seed is wasted. The first lesson of the parable is that Jesus, through his word, is the source of the miracle of faith in him. And don't get any idea in your heads that you can make yourself good soil, you know, free of the rocks and the weeds. There are farmers among us today, and unless you till the earth doesn't till itself. Unless you prepare the soil doesn't prepare itself. All things depend upon the divine word. Not only is the word the creator of faith, but the word of God is also that which prepares the heart to receive Christ. We cannot make ourselves good and noble ground. Only Jesus can do that. The Word of God not only creates faith, but it tills the soil of the human heart, fertilizes the life of faith, as it were, and causes it to bring forth good fruit. This is why preaching and catechesis and Bible study and the congregation at prayer and meditation upon the Word of God is so important. It is the power at work in the sacraments and in the life of every Christian because it gives us Jesus. When our Lord speaks the word of the gospel to us, it is a gentle word of grace. It is not a coercive word. You see this in the parable. The seed is simply scattered. He doesn't drive it into the soil. He doesn't force himself upon us. It is the word he speaks to us when you and I are troubled by our sins, when we feel the pangs of a guilty conscience, and when our hearts are laid open with the knowledge of our sins before God, and faith asks the haunting question, how could I have done this? And then Jesus speaks his word of forgiveness. By speaking his word, he gives us himself. He declares us righteous. He justifies us. He binds up our wounds and gives us comfort and peace. So Jesus tells the parable of the sower and the seed to warn us about the enemies of faith in Jesus, and how these enemies try to destroy faith and prevent us from hearing the word of God. And that's the second lesson for us in the parable. The first, faith is a miracle of God's word, and a miracle alone. And the second, that we know those enemies. The devil is an enemy of faith in Christ. From the time of his fall from heaven, he has been out to attack God's word and destroy faith. Lies, deceit, false doctrine, false promises, and the accusations against God and the Christian are Satan's weapons. We need to know this. In a couple of weeks, on the first Sunday of Lent, we shall again hear how Jesus, in our stead and for us, waged war against the evil one with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This is the antidote against the devil's attacks. And this is also the good news. The very word of God that Satan attacks is the very weapon by which Satan's attacks are destroyed. And faith in Christ is strengthened. Apathy toward God's word and the failure to believe how much we need to continue to receive the word is also an enemy of faith in Christ. It speaks against the notion, I believe in Jesus. What need do I have further to receive and to hear? This is described as the seed that fell among the rocks. Faith sprouts and grows by the word, but it has no root. It receives the gospel with joy, but it does not continue to hear and receive the word. Jesus teaches us that apathy towards God's word is the nature of our sinful flesh. He calls us to repent. And the good news is that the very word of God in the gospel that creates the joy of our salvation is also that word which, the more we receive it, the more it gives us a hunger and thirst to hear and receive. Finally, the cares, riches, and pleasures of life threaten to choke faith in Christ. Jesus teaches us very gently that the seed of the word is not sown into our hearts to give us physical health, wealth, earthly prosperity, nor does he bring us to faith by the word to satisfy the appetites and desires of our hearts. In other words, the call to faith is not be a Christian and you will be prosperous in life. These are rather the thorns. The sole purpose of the seed of the word is to give us Christ. And giving us Christ to restore life with God in Jesus, through Jesus, in Jesus. This is what the seed of the word is all about. From Jesus' word of the gospel, we become good and noble ground, producing mature fruits of faith, love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, faithfulness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and so does every blessing in Christ Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.